Amen, amen. Just a quick shout out. I want to thank the men for painting, scraping the ceiling in the back. Amen. This. Amen. It looks good. It is never, never easy working over your head. I can understand why Moses' arms got tired. And he needed somebody to help hold him up. So I want to thank the men for scraping and painting the ceiling in the back. And it looks very, very good. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Mitch is recovering. Minister Ricardo is recovering. Amen. All is well. Teachers, you may be dismissed. If you see your teacher leave, that means class is in session. Amen. God has a word for us this morning. Amen. Amen. He has a word for us this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. I'm reading from the King James Version. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. You can sit down, but I want to read one more verse. You can sit. You can sit. I did that for your sake. Amen. I want to read one more verse, and then I'm going to go into the lesson of what God has given me to give to you. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm still in this same book. Hebrews chapter 12. And I just want to read verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. For God's word. Amen. God gave me a word on this morning to share with his people. Amen. We need some encouragement. We need some strength to endure these battles that we're fighting. We need something to help us push past our pain. Amen. Amen. I want to say this. It can be disturbing when the doctor says to you, whoa, I've never seen this before. Amen. I've never seen this before. When times are rough, it's nice to know that you're not the only one who's gone through this or who had this problem before. That's why I wanted to read Hebrews chapter 12 and 1, verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 2, if you notice in chapter 12 of Hebrews, for this reason, the author begins this particular chapter, begins his encouragement to the Hebrews who were going through some difficult times by reminding them the example of those that have gone before them. He said, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness. If you look into the Hall of Faith, it's full of example of those who have pushed past their pain. So if you read that chapter and recall how God strengthened those believers through their difficult times. So what I'm saying to you this morning is that we need to learn to push past our pain. All of us have faced times in our lives when we feel pain and hurt. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room and he shared the truth of his coming suffering, the hurt and the fear he would face, and the love that would come from the pain. During the evening, as he was teaching the disciples, Jesus said, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." So some of you don't realize what you're going through right now, but later on you're going to understand. We sing a song that we'll understand it better by and by. There are times when we ask the question, how come it seems that every time I go through something, it's got to hurt so bad? Sometimes we go through things in life and we wonder, how come I have to struggle when others seem to get it so easily? Sometimes, you know, we have to. I was one of those students that had to work twice as hard just to get an A in math. Whereas all somebody else had to do was just study one night and they make an A. But I had to start from the time the teacher said we're going to have a test up until we got the test. But some people can do it in one night. Don't have to work as hard. And man, some of us got to work twice as hard just to earn that paycheck. Well, others just seem like they ain't doing nothing and they getting paid. Amen. I mean, y'all know anybody like that? Don't look at them. Amen. Don't call their name. We may have to get a second job just to pay a bill. Amen. So some of us, sometimes we have to get married again to get it right. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we all have bad days in our lives. If anybody that is born, you're going to have a bad day. I mean, that's just going to happen. So we all have bad days. Sometimes we feel like it's more bad days than good days. But we all have them. We all have bad days. And I'm going to say this. You know it's a bad day when you wake up in the hospital and your insurance rep tell you that your accident policy covers falling off the roof, but it don't cover hitting the ground. You know you're having a bad day. You're having a bad day when you call 911 and they put you on hold. I mean, I'm just saying. And you're having a bad day when your twin can't remember your birthday. Or your income tax check bounces. You're having a bad day. Or you put the same contact lens in the eye, in the same eye. You're having a bad day. So you ask the question, what is it that I've done or have not done to bring these problems in my life? It's not what you and I have done or have not done. It is what God is doing in us and through us. God has a work to complete. See, God is not like most of us. Y'all ever seen projects around that people start them and they don't finish them? See, God is a God that's going to bring to completion what he is doing in you. God is not like some of us who have projects that we start and we don't finish them. Or we read a book, but we don't get back to it. That's not God. God has a work to complete in you, and he is not finished until his glory is seen in you. So you need to know the pain you are going through is not designed to kill you. You need to know that it's designed to make you better. See, so what's going on now in your life is designed to make you a finished product, a vessel for God to use. When God creates, he creates for a purpose. So you're not a failure. You can believe that. When a woman gives birth, it requires pain. And even though that this woman knows that giving birth requires pain, she still follows through with giving birth anyway, knowing that she's at the point of death at even giving birth. So let me say this. It's painful when the church is not growing, and it's painful when the church is growing. So either way you look at it, it's painful. It was pain in the Garden of Gethsemane that brought forth the sweat drops of blood from Christ. For some of you, what you are going through, I have to say some of you, not all of you, because for some of you, what you're going through in your life at this moment is what medical profession calls childbirth or delivery. Now, some of you are going through something because you're disobedient. You ain't listening. So you're going through what you're going through because of you, not because God is. No, that's because of you. That's why I had to say it for some of you. Okay, but for some of you, the pain that you are experiencing, the problems that you are experiencing, the difficult times of pain are simply contractions. You are like a pregnant mother waiting for your moment of delivery. You are feeling the birth of your faith in God. This is just a continuation of what I spoke on last week. See, the womb of your faith is about to give birth. Your old life is giving birth to new life. Your old way of thinking is giving life to a new mentality. Many of us are going through a painful delivery. It's a process we must go through in order to get to the next level. You have to. In order to get to the next level. So your life becomes one major painful event after another. It is the birthing process called the first stage. The second stage involves the birth of the baby, the offspring, the fruit of that is within you. There are times in your life when you may be going through so much, all you can think of is ending your suffering. Like any woman in labor, we want something to numb the pain. But Satan wants you to abort. What I mean by abort, he wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to give birth to that faith that is coming out of you. He wants you to stay right where you are and be the person you used to be. So he wants you to backslide into your old habits. That's why your old habits keep calling your name. Because he wants you to go back to what you used to do, used to be. So he doesn't want you to give birth to what God is doing in you. Because when you give birth to what God is getting ready to do in your life, look out now. I'm telling you, look out, because what's getting ready to happen, you're getting ready to propel to the next level. So you have to tell the devil that giving up is not an option. It's important that you make up your mind not to leave this planet without giving birth to those dreams, those ideals, those visions, and inventions you're carrying in your womb. You have to make the determination. If God said for me to write this book, I'm going to sit down and put pen to paper and start writing this book. If God tells you to create something, you don't need to listen to anybody to tell you that's a stupid idea. There's a lot of stupid ideas that we are using right now. So you have to give birth to what it is that God is telling you to do. So do not abort your baby of potential because of the suffering, the trials that you are going through. God has something for our pain. Like any well-prepared mother, you have a birthing coach. Paul says that it's the Holy Spirit standing right by your side. When my wife was in labor, she had a friend there who was telling her how to go through this labor. Why? Because her friend has already been through it. You see what I'm saying? It makes sense when you know somebody that has gone through what you're getting ready to go through. So she had to remind, her friend had to remind my wife to breathe. See, sometimes we forget. See, we're so much focused on the pain that we don't forget that those natural things that we need to do, we're not doing it. So she had to say, Sonia, breathe. So my wife had to relax and breathe. Because there's times where she's, you know, just literally just lost it. So there's times where you lose it. So I'm telling you, all you got to do is continue to praise him in the midst of what you're going through. Continue to study. Continue to come to church. Continue to do those things that you've been doing. This is just a test. This is just a season. So we need to push past our pain. So just like my wife had a friend that was her birthing coach, we have the Holy Spirit that is our birthing coach for the spiritual, telling us to keep on keeping on. He's telling us to push past our pain. People wonder, what's keeping you from losing your mind? They want to know how you're able to keep it together. It's because the Holy Spirit is keeping you. So what I'm saying to you that we need to push past our pain. The process of birth does not end with the delivery. It is not. It does not end until we have given birth to our testimony. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Y'all, we were asked this question when my wife was delivering. The thing that was asked to us, you know how just like the medical profession that uses the mother's placenta for research and medicine for other with illness, God wants to use your testimony, which is the placenta, to help bring someone else through their situation. They asked my wife, can we use the placenta for research, for study? Because it was attached to what you gave birth to. So God is saying that he wants to use your testimony, which is attached to what you just gave birth to. So God wants to use your testimony for research, for study, to help somebody else who's going through a sickness, who's going through trials and tribulation. God wants to use your testimony as a placenta for somebody else. So you have to tell somebody what God has done for you. God has brought you through some painful situations. So you need to push past your pain because it's only for a season. We often allow the pain of our past to continue to rule in our present while we're doing it to ourselves. And it's bad that we do this. That's not a good place to be. When God create life, listen to me, there is a special path for that life to go. Paul says that we go through exactly what Christ went through. We go through the same thing. Let me give you one example of somebody. Joseph, we all know, was a type of Christ. He pushed past the pain. Joseph foreshadowed some of the same things that Jesus experienced. I'm just going to name a few because I can't name all of it. Otherwise, it'll be another sermon, another topic. But let me just name a few. Joseph was sent by his father to his brothers. Jesus was sent by his father to Israel. Reuben wanted, y'all, if you know the story, you know what I'm going. Reuben wanted to rescue Joseph. Pilate wanted to rescue Jesus. All knees bow to Joseph. All knees will bow to Jesus. Both were given a name meaning Savior. Now, this is what got me right here. That's why I said, Lord, you know you're good. Just like Christ, who was not recognized as a Messiah by his own people at the first coming, Joseph was similarly not recognized by his own brothers at their first coming, their first meeting. It was not until they met for the second time that Joseph was recognized by them. Similar, it will not be until the second coming that the Jews will recognize Jesus as their Messiah. So Joseph, brothers shared Pharaoh's favor because of Joseph. We share God's favor because of Jesus, not because we are worthy. While only Jesus was truly sinless, Joseph is one of the few people written about in the Bible of which no sins are mentioned. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is that we are trying to be Christ-like. And if we are trying to be Christ-like, then we're going to go through the same thing that he went through. So God was with Joseph throughout his painful situation. That's why Joseph could endure so many years of misfortune. We too can endure the pain we experience while we are going on our way to becoming Christ-like. I read this story about a woman who pushed past her pain. When she ran the California Orange County Marathon, it was one of her most painful races, mentally and physically. But around mile 50, she felt pain in her body. She said, and this is what we need to do as Christians, she said, if it's going to hurt, I want it to hurt for a reason. She dug in and she pushed past her pain and she won that race. If you are a runner, elite runners often say that their ability to push through excruciating bouts of discomfort is important to their race performance. After you build up your stamina, it's really about how much pain you can take. You have to reach into yourself and you have to find that toughness that's inside yourself. If you have to get you a bottle and write tough drink on there to make you feel like it's doing something, I'm just saying you need to do something that's going to reach inside and tap into that toughness and allow it to pull it out of you. See, some measures of discomfort is normal. You know, you get those when you're running, the real runners. When you're running, muscles ache when you're running for real. Amen. Amen. When you're running for real, muscles start to burn, joints start to aching, exhaustion starts to set in. But don't dwell on how much you hurt. Tell yourself that I'm working this hard because you fill in the blank and then fill in your performance goal. Pain comes and goes. And so at your next race, or should I say your next encounter, you should be ready for it. Put the pain in perspective. Remind yourself that the discomfort is just temporary. How many of you have hit your toe on something? Didn't it hurt? You said, Lord Jesus. Oh, okay, some of y'all may not have said that. I forgot. Some of y'all didn't say that. But those of us who may have cried out to the Lord and said, oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. You went down. And you was like, God knows what you're going through. But see, the pain did not last. Did it? It went away. And then you was able to what? Get yourself up and start walking into where you were going. And then what did you do the next time you came around that corner? You didn't cut it too short. You walked all the way around. You almost did a spin move. Each of us has had moments where we were tested beyond our comfort zone. This is not an easy place to be. But there is a blessing that's tucked away in the encounter, in the pain that you're going through. When working out, there's always that place we call our threshold. In other words, when you're working out, you say, that's enough. You're done. I'm not doing no more. I teach my kids what their karate teacher is teaching them. 1, 2, 3, that's enough for me. I teach them that. But the teacher is teaching them. So what I'm saying is that once you get to that threshold of pain, you quit. You stop. At this point, we can either press forward past the pain, or we can just turn back to our comfort zone and we can just let it be. There was a man who was lifting weights with a former NFL player. Just when he thought he couldn't do any more lifting, they wanted him to continue. Always somebody there to push you. Wanted him to continue. They were trying to push him past his threshold of pain. The man knew he couldn't lift anymore. Sometimes when you're lifting, your arms get to shaking. Because you can't do it no more. You're tired. Your arms are weak. But they decided to do something. Motivate him. They decided to show him a picture of a man with his chiseled body. It was a picture of someone that had attained the results that this man was desiring to look like. So this motivated him to push past his pain towards accomplishing what he wanted to look like. See, when we think we have reached our threshold of pain and we want to return to our comfort zone, God will send us a word that shows us a picture of what we are out to look like. And it gives us what we need to push past our pain. So there is a blessing at your breaking point. God will come in and give you a revelation so you will know, even if it hurts, there is a blessing at this point. See, a lot of us, we want to stay in our comfort zone. We don't want to run no more than what we've done yesterday. We don't want to do no more than we've done yesterday. But I dare you to push past what you did yesterday. Push past what you're trying to set out to do today. I guarantee you that there is a reward, a blessing, on the other side of you pushing past your comfort zone. Many of us are just comfortable and just doing what we're doing right now. But then there's others that said, I'm determined to push past whatever it is that is bothering me, whoever is getting on my nerves. I'm willing to push past all of that. I'm not focusing on them no more. I am determined to focus my attention on Christ Jesus. So what God does, God said, okay, if you want to, if you're working out, and if you want to get down to where your high school weight was, or if you want to look like a fit person, then sometimes you have to have a picture to remind yourself of what you want to be. So God has to allow us sometimes to see what we want to look like. Many of us want to be this. So God said, okay, if that's what you want to be, then this is what you're going to have to do. So many of us that are in school, if you want to be a nurse, some of us, we got to go through the tests. We got to go through the clinicals. We got to go through the school in order to get to what? Graduation. So the only way you're going to get that cap and gown is that you got to go through the courses. You got to go through the days that you don't even feel like coming to school. You got to even, let me say this. Even when you're working, where you don't feel like getting up and going to work, knowing that you're dealing with some hard-headed folks on your job who talk so much, stirs up mess. But you know what? If you want to get what God has got for you, you got to push past it. You can't keep dwelling on them. God is saying, run your race. Focus on you. Do what I've called you to do. There's a blessing when you push past those ignorant folks. So the same it is in Christ. When we push past the difficulties, the lackadaisical, the slowpoke spirit, the slowful spirit, the spirit that keeps us and want us to have bedside Baptist church in the morning. When you push past that spirit, and you come to church, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what just happened in your family, when you push past that, don't you know that God is watching you? This is what happened to me when I was years ago, when I was young and I was cleaning up the church. I was all over that church cleaning up. I mean, I was doing windowsills. I was on the floor cleaning up underneath the piano. I was cleaning underneath the pews, getting spider webs. I mean, I was cleaning all over that church. And for what I was getting, I just gave it back to the church. I didn't collect any money. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God was watching me. He was saying, look, this man is working. And ain't taking a dime. Hold on now. God said, I got to bless him. I got to do it for him. God said, if I don't do it for nobody, I'm going to do it for him, because this guy is not focused. He ain't chasing money, but this money's going to chase him. So I focused my attention on Christ. I said, Lord, I don't have a job. But I said, Lord, I know. I had God to myself. I was at the altar. I said, Lord, I want you to do it for me. I said, Lord, fix it for me. And don't y'all know that God fixed it for me? See, I'm telling like this. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people say. I'm just going to believe for myself that God is going to do it. Many of us have been at the place where we need God to work it out for us right now. We know God moves in his time, but we need a breakthrough right now. I need you right now. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and it was at his breaking point that God stepped in. Hannah was at her breaking point when she began to pray, and they thought she was drunk. But God stepped in that moment on her behalf. You will find out that some of the most powerful prayers will come at your breaking point. It is at the breaking point that your prayers are most sincere. So you being real now. Because see, you want, see, this is why I love those old songs. Man, those old songs are, mean something to me. You want me to tell you why they mean so much to me? Because those old songs were testimonies. Those old songs was what they were going through and what they wanted God to do in their life. So they made a song about it. When they were out there in the fields, when they were going through all kind of persecution and trials and tribulation, they made a song about what they were going through. Nowadays, we make a song and we want to get some money behind it. So even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane at his breaking point desired that this cup be removed. Many of you have been there. You didn't know how it was going to work out, but you realized that in this moment, your prayers were powerful. David had a lot of enemies around him, and he realized that he needed a word from God. How many of you need a word from God? We need a word. We need God to send us a rhema word. So he needed to know what God's instruction was for his life. He needed a word that makes sense of what is going on in his life and what is happening. So we need a revelation of his will. What is that God needs for us to do right now? God can work through circumstances. He will use the things to bless you. But you need to be determined to push past your pain. Be willing to stay in there no matter what God allows to come. Now, if God allowed it, then it must be there to bless you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If it's coming, that means it's there to bless you. I said this before, and it's worth saying again. You know, on your job, before you can do something, you have to submit it, right? You have to get approval. Before Satan can do anything to you, he's got to submit it. He's got to submit it. Because God is the ruler, is the author and finisher of our faith. God is saying, okay, yeah, this product needs to be tested. So therefore, go ahead. I'm giving my approval. But spare his life. You're just going to go through some pain, but you're going to come out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we ain't stuck. One of the most powerful things about coming to your breaking point is that you will discover what David discovered. David said he was about to faint or give up. He was about to fold in and send in his resignation. How many of you have got to that point yet? Want to send God your resignation? You want to give it to him. But he saw something. David saw the goodness of God moving in the land of the living. God is actively involved in the lives of his people. He is not just standing by saying he will just let things happen, no matter how difficult the pain is. God is moving in our lives. So no matter how tragic your situation is, God is moving in it. The older you get, the more you can see God's finger in that situation. David says it is really God doing it for me. You have to have the right perspective. It is about how you look at a thing. So what am I saying? If you look at your problem crazy, your problem gonna look at you crazy. David says he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He didn't look at his problem like we looked at our problem. David says, though he had circumstances, yet he believed. Though he has drama, David had drama in his life. He said, I still believe. Anyone can have faith when everything is well. But will you have faith when the bottom falls out? When the bottom falls out, this is when you say, I'm giving up. This is what some of you say. But for some of us, we say, I'm still trusting. Even through this difficult time. You saying to yourself that if they lay off, he's still God. If things don't work out the way I want it to work out, I'm still trusting. In other words, you said he's still worthy of praise. You said no matter what things may come out or turn out, you said God has been too good to me for me to just fold up and sit at home on how much God has blessed me. So we have to get to a point and say, when our faith is right, your focus is right, where you have to look at things from a different perspective. Like David said, in the land of the living, David said that he had drama all around him, yet he believed. And then he saw God moving in the land of the living. This means the drama was designed to destroy him, but he could see now because he was there in the land of the living. We are in the land of the living. Some people can't see it because they haven't been through enough yet. When you have been through stuff that could have killed you, you give God the glory just because you're still here. We are alive to testify about it. What was designed to destroy us is designed actually to develop you. This is why you got to hang in there and endure the hardness like a good soldier and count it all joy. Be not weary in well-doing, because remember I said your due date is coming, because in due season you will reap and faint not. So there is no need to be alive and acting like you're dead. They say live folks make some noise. I remember when I was at St. Mary's Hospital and I didn't understand a lot of the acronyms and stuff that they use. I was young, and they would say that this person is DOA. I didn't understand DOA. What is DOA? There's another one that they used was a SOB. I was like, what SOB? What is that? Oh my God, they called this man a SOB. And I said, dog, what they do? Shortness of breath, son, shortness of breath. I was like, oh my God. I was like, they called it. I was young. I didn't know. But when I heard the DOA, I was noticing that people were coming in, and I was like, okay, well, what's wrong with this one? This one ain't making no noise. I was like, it was DOA. DOA is dead on arrival. Didn't make no noise. But the one thing I did notice that the ones that was alive, they came in hurt, bruised, battered, shot, broken, everything or what you can imagine. They came in hollering, moaning and groaning. They were making some noise. And I said, well, this one is alive. I said, this one ain't dead. I said, because this one is moaning and groaning. You touch them and they, that hurt. Oh, that hurts. I'm sorry about that. But they were moaning and groaning. So what I'm saying is that if you're alive, you ought to be making some noise for the Lord. You ought to be shouting that you're here to give a testimony. You ought to be shouting that you are like the ones in a great cloud of witnesses. You got somebody that has been through what you've been through. You got somebody that has graduated to the next level, that has been through what you are about to go through. We all been there before. We all been there before. When I was in school, if somebody had a first hour teacher and they had a test, and I would say, if I had a third hour, I would say, hey, can you tell me what's on that test? I need to know. Why? Because they've been through it. So I say, can you talk to me for a moment? I just need a few minutes of your time. I need to understand what question number one is going to be like. Can you tell me what about question two? What about three? Well, how much can you remember? In other words, can you recall some of the things that you went through on that test? So, and I'm saying that as Christians, we need to be able to recall some of the things that we are going through, some of the tests that we are dealing with, in order for others to be able to get through their painful situation. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we need to push past our pain. That's why it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, when you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. When you are waiting with anticipation, you wait on a revelation. You know, I'm be real with you now. Don't wait ignorant now. Don't wait angry. Your posture is grounded on a revelation. If you waiting like this, you don't expect nothing. But if you waiting like this, expect something. It's all in how your posture is. It's all in how you walk. When I interview people, I interview them and I want to see, are you going to walk with confidence when I get done interviewing you? In other words, I need to know that you are prepared for the job that I'm about ready to give you. In other words, I'm getting ready to send you an offer letter. I want to know if you accept this offer, and I want to know if you can do this job. I'm not going to give you this offer if you can't do this job. So I need to know how you walk out of my presence. So God is saying, watch your posture. If your posture is nasty, God said you ain't got confidence. So wait with anticipation. It reminds me, let me say that, it reminds me being at a bus stop. When you're at a bus stop, you're on the schedule, and you know that at this time, the bus is going to come. So you're at the bus stop. Let's say that the bus arrives at 4:30. Well, you're going to make it your business to either be there at 4 o'clock or 4:15. In other words, when you can, have y'all ever watched the people at the bus stop? You got some that's waiting like this. I like the bus ain't even coming. They tired of waiting. But then you got some that's waiting like this. Y'all see me? This light didn't do my eyes no good. My eyes are big. I got people that's waiting like this. They waiting with anticipation. And then you got other people that's they just doing whatever they want to do. What I'm saying is that when you're at the bus stop, there is a schedule. In other words, look at your blessing being on that schedule. It's expected to arrive at 4:30. As long as you're standing there like this, you're going to get. And you know how you look way down the street so you can see it coming. You're like this. Forget all the other cars. It's bad. You like this. Oh, here it come. Here it come. Here it come. Here it come. You're telling everybody else. Here it come. So everybody else gets excited with you because you just made an announcement that it's coming. So I'm telling you, I'm making an announcement. Your blessing is coming. So this is what I want you to do. Look with anticipation. So wake up. Wake up looking for your blessing. Don't wait with your lips stuck out. I can't even do it right now. Don't wait with your lips stuck out. Lip all down here, mad. Wait with anticipation, knowing that it's going to come. Knowing that God is getting ready to bless you, that your blessing is on this schedule, that God has sent it from heaven, and it is lined, and you are lined up with it. Don't get caught off. You're lined up with your blessing. It's expected to arrive at the time that God, in other words, what I'm saying is that the bus is not going to come over here. The bus is going to arrive at the bus stop. So in other words, what I'm saying is that by obedience and by faith, you need to arrive at the stop. And you need to get there and be waiting with anticipation. The bus, I ain't never seen a bus pull up to somebody's house and pick them up. And say, you ready to go? No. The bus has a schedule. And you have to be at the expected place. So what I'm saying is that fail not to assemble yourself among the household of faith. That is scripture all day long. So we need to be expecting a blessing. When a baby is teething, sometimes you think it's just one tooth coming out. It turns out there are three teeth coming out of that baby. You can imagine the discomfort, teething, pains are. It's important to look past the pain. So don't focus so much on the pain. Something good will come out of the pain. Sometimes the pain is necessary for the blessing to break through. So the pain that the baby is going through, as I close, the pain that the baby is going through is necessary for the teeth to break, to come through. This is why you see them whining and they're uncomfortable, because there is a blessing that's coming through for them that's getting ready to break. So it is for you. Push past your pain. Push past your hurt. So I want to encourage you that the season of discomfort will soon come to an end. It will bear fruit, and God is able to use the pain to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even imagine. Amen.